Now back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Getting caught meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000. I'd get it one piece at a time, and it wouldn't cost me a dime. You know it's me when I come through your town. I'm gonna ride around in style. I'm gonna drive everybody wild. Cause I'll have the
I bet
only
he's driving
one
his family
there
wild because
now.
He didn't work last weekend, and then NASCAR's off for this Easter weekend. Then they'll roll down to Texas, but he's got a little bit of down. There is no such thing as downtime for Kenny Wallace, but I imagine at this point the family's like, Dad, just go do something. That's just my theory. How are you, sir? Welcome aboard.
I'm doing good. I'm going to see a friend down in Farmington, Missouri. So I was driving down Highway 6167, and I pulled over, so I make sure I have a good, clear signal. How do I sound?
You sound fantastic. And I think, look, Martin said you were driving, but earlier, didn't you post on Twitter you were hanging out with a grandbaby? Is that right? You posted a picture, right, or a video?
Video, all morning long, Charlotte. She is just the sweetest kid in the world. Yeah, but, you know, in life, one thing I learned is that when you get up early, like 10 o'clock can seem like noon. So, yeah, I got up early this morning because the grandbaby, Charlotte, she comes running into my bedroom every Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and I call myself Poppy. So we get up, and we drink coffee, and we watch cartoons and do the whole deal. But I got to tell you, she melts my heart. She is the best.
So we have Tuesdays with Kenny, and so does the grandbaby. Like your daughter's probably like, yep, it's time for Tuesdays with Kenny.
With Pawpaw, Poppy.
Does your daughter have any rules like, now don't be giving my baby girl any candy or any sweets or any strict guidelines for you?
You know, if there really was, I would tell you. I think that I love my kids so much. I wouldn't say they're spoiled. Because we always did teach them the right way, but I don't think she has. I'm really trying to think. My daughter Brooke, she works in Kirkwood. She's a dental hygienist, and so you know, I'm really proud of her. She turned out great, and now she's never really roughed me up. You know what? I'll tell you what. My daughter Brooke, the only thing she really got pissed at me about one time was. I was saying, now listen, here's how the story went real quick. Kevin Harvick, the NASCAR driver, Harvick was, he was waiting for his baby to be born. And Kevin Harvick said, hey, Kenny Wallace, and that's me. He says, if my wife, Delana, goes into labor, will you please drive my my race car? Which was, you know, he's driving the Budweiser car at that time. And I said, yeah, I'll be on standby. And at the time, I'm doing everything, right? I'm running the Xfinity series. I'm doing TV, too. But I was in Daytona, and I said, I will. So, okay, now that you know that, fast forward. At the time, I'm living in North Carolina, but I come to meet my daughter and her husband. And I said, man, can you believe these kids nowadays? Like, they will just stop everything if their wife's having a baby and and I said, I wouldn't do that. She literally chewed my ass out. She goes, Dad, I cannot believe you are so hardcore. I said, honey, I said, hold on. Now, I grew up in 1963. If you're a farmer and you're out in the field and you're making a living, you know, you let the wife go ahead, the baby, the sisters, the moms, they all do that. So me and Brooke, man, I knew that I had to shut up because she was really mad at me. So, you know, that's the only thing that Brooke really chewed my ass out about was that, man, if we have a baby, you better be at the hospital. I'm like, okay, I'll be there because you're yelling at me. But then it is not really the way it happened with me and your mother. I was racing in Bristol, and I was able to make it back, you know, to see my middle daughter be born. But, yeah, that was a big difference we had.
Now, I know you are Mr. St. Louis about our town and all of our teams, but I'm guessing, did your kids all grow up in Charlotte?
So Brooke, the one that I'm talking about right now, she was born down at St. Mary's, as I would say, down by the big Amoco sign right there, you know, by Forest Park. Now the other two, Brandy and Brittany, they were born and raised in Charlotte. So yeah, but Brooke met her boyfriend and then married him, and he was out of St. Louis. So Brooke kind of kept her ties to St. Louis, even though Brooke was raised in Charlotte.
All right, Kenny, in your career, broadcasting, driving, et cetera, have you ever had a race, NASCAR race, snowed out before? We saw that in Martinsville over the weekend. Well, it was great footage. It looked cool. Had to race on Monday. Clint Boyer, your winner. But that was just bizarre because you think of NASCAR, you think of the South and, you know, the sun's out and good old boys. And all of a sudden, we got a race that's canceled because of the snow.
Yeah. So 1993, Atlanta, we had so much snow. So if you YouTube it, Google it, whatever you got to do. 1993, I was racing in the Cup Series. I was driving the number 40 Dirt Devil, the little vacuum cleaner. That was my sponsor. And boy, oh boy, it was the snow that Atlanta hasn't seen in ages. I think we had like 7 to 8 inches, and it was cold. It did not leave, and the whole race got canceled for over a week. We came back and raced, but I've definitely seen it. On another hand, I would say that NASCAR definitely pushes the envelope. You know, people have said for years in the industry that NASCAR races too much. They're almost a little bit like hockey. It's like, okay, we get it. You know, you race year round. You know, but even the legendary Dale Earnhardt Jr. said that NASCAR has too much of a good thing. You know, they need a little less NASCAR, and I agree with that.
Kenny, I'm reading a tweet yesterday from Clint Boyer, and he says, "I appreciate all the comments. They mean more to me than any trophy ever will. I promise I'll answer them all later. As for now, there's an ass load of bad decisions fixing to go down." I love that tweet. And this guy, isn't he kind of a grinder, dirt track guy a little bit going back?
Yeah, Clint is one of us. He's a Midwest boy. He's from right outside of Topeka, Kansas, or Kansas City area. He was born in Emporia, kind of a strange town of name, but Emporia, Kansas. He's a Kansas fan, whether it's the basketball team or the Royals. He's definitely a sportster, but he's one of us. He's kind of a rawhide character. I would say that Clint and I share a lot in common. We like to drink our beer. We like to have a good time, but we're also very serious competitors. And so Clint, I've been to Clint's place. I was there last year to do a nice sit-down interview with Clint for Fox Sports. And he's got a really cool place. He's got a very rustic country-type home. And he's also got a barn, if that's what you want to call it. It's a party joint. he loves his country music and George Jones and, you know, Johnny Cash. And so his party it's kind of that genre, you know. They lit it up last night. And I believe one of his friends put a lot of whiskey in his mouth and act like a flamethrower. You can get on.
I saw
I don't
that.
Think Clint, yeah, pretty
a
cool.
A fireball.
What
yeah,
did he say? Asked what a bad decision. Like, in other words, he was going to throw down.
Party time.
He was going to party it down. By the way, NASCAR is off this week. They'll be in Texas the following week. So sort of a break here in the beginning of the season. What are your highs and lows so far? I guess Harvick is probably the biggest story that's emerged early in 2018.
So, just like you all, we have statisticians that make us look good. I received my emails from Fox Sports this morning. I looked through them. Believe it or not, Harvick has won 3 races, but our hottest driver right now with 5 top 5s out of 6 races, leading all the categories as far as laps, leading every race, is Martin Truex. So Truex has won a race. I would say the driver that is standing out, you are 100% right. The driver standing out in a lot of the attention is Harvick with 3 wins. But last year's champion, Martin Truex, he's really strong. And when I looked at the email, I went all the way down through it. Truex is just really badass right now. He's tough. He's competing in the top 5 every race. But, we've got some really good field wins. Austin Dillon, won the Daytona 500 in that legendary three car on the last lap. It was a barn burner. It did not disappoint. You know, Kevin Harvick only won two races total last year. So here he is. He's won three already, only six races into the year. The other big story I would say is that, you know, Tony Stewart's team, with it, which is called Stewart-Haas Racing, they've won four out of six races with driver Kevin Harvick and then, of course, Clint Bowyer. So there's a lot of storylines. It could appear that Harvick is dominating, but when you look at the lap sled, you know, he took the lead late at the race at Phoenix. So there's a lot of good storylines.
And, Kenny, now the big question, here we are 2 days from opening day.
Yep.
It seems like this is our Cardinals team. They're probably not going to add anytime soon. So entering Thursday versus the Mets, give us your Cardinals prediction. Win total, are they making the playoffs? What does Kenny Walls think?
Well, I bought eight tickets. I purchased eight tickets, $160 each. So I paid it forward. I got my whole family going, son-in-laws and everybody. So there's that. My prediction is this. The Cardinals will make the playoffs. They will compete. Are they going to win the division? I don't know that. You know, I believe in my Cardinals. I'll always defend them to the end. I'll have to say this. Man, they look good. Damn. I mean, you know, they look so good right now. I'm not worried about the closer role. You know, I put that on Twitter this morning. I answered somebody. I said, look, the bullpen by committee has worked in the past under manager Tony La Russa. You know, we don't have to name a closer yet to appease the fans. You know, because you could get hurt doing that. You could say, okay, Lyons is our closer. And then all of a sudden, let's say it goes bad, then all of a sudden there's psychological drama. So we got two guys right now that look like they could close. So let's not worry about that. Let's close these games out with a couple guys and see how it goes. You know, I'm not going to worry about, you know, Wainwright, you know, injured right now. He will come back. We got a good starting rotation. The bats are hot. Outfield looks good. You know, really, here's what I'm putting all my faith in. I'm going to be consistent. I think you and I, Charlie, talked about this last week. I'm going to put a lot of faith in Jose Oquendo, you know, our pitching coach. And, you know, we got Willie McGee back. So, once again, we've got good players. It's going to be up to this new coaching staff to take these good players and turn them into great ones. That's the way I think. That's my opinion as we go into the year.
And it got me thinking about La Russa when Jason Mott was the closer, but he was a young guy, so he didn't get the official designation. He would never – we would say, Tony, who's the closer? No, we'll just mix and match. Well, Mott has 25 saves. He's been used in the ninth inning the last, like, three nights. Yeah, not the closer. He just would not say it. I think he did that with Wainwright in 06. He just refused late in the year, wouldn't call him the closer. Hopefully you're right. You're always optimistic, and we appreciate that. Kenny, enjoy the time off this weekend, and then it's off to Texas. And enjoy that trip to Farmington as well.
I appreciate it. I just want to add one thing. You can get in trouble naming a closer, because if you call in your closer and then he doesn't do a good job, then we say, oh, he fired the closer. So it's not a bad decision to not name a closer. All right, that's all I got. Thanks, gang. Love the show.
Love it.
All right,
thank you, sir.
That's Kenny Wallace. You can hear him and see him on Fox Sports 1, part of the NASCAR coverage. They do a little great segment called Where in the World is Kenny.
His last point regarding the Cardinals, don't you think that's absolutely true? Why would you say Dominic Leone is our closer right now, even if you know he's going to get the first three, four, five opportunities? You have no upside in doing that as the team.
Well, there's no reason to say it right now because they don't have a closer.
Right. If they had Greg Holland or Wade Davis or Alex Colomé, they'd be, hey, he's our closer.
Okay, but my point is you don't anoint Dominic Leone the closer because he's had four saves.
Correct.
In spring. I'm not saying you don't have confidence in him, but it serves you no positive value to say that when it can only blow up in your face.
No, I agree with that point. I don't think anybody at home or any Cardinal fan now is saying, I wish they would just name somebody. I wish they – that's different. They're saying, well, I wish we had a real closer. I wish we had an established closer. Nobody is saying, why don't they just say it? Just name a guy. I don't care that they don't have one named. I care that they don't really seem to have one.
What would be the most Cardinals thing to happen in the opener with all that we've discussed this whole offseason? It would be for the Cardinals to have a lead on Thursday and then that lead to go away in the ninth inning.
Yeah, if that happens, I'm leaving. Even though I'm going to be at the game, I'm going to leave.
Martin, do we have postgame sound? No, the Cardinals blew it in the ninth. I left. What?
Okay.
I'm over here in Brooklyn talking about these kid umpires that are ringing everybody up on the island.
All these years kind of meld together for me. Was it not maybe 12, 13-ish? Wasn't Mitchell Boggs the closer on opening day?
Yes.
I remember being outside of the stadium getting ready to do live shots for what I thought was going to be a Cardinals victory, and then didn't he implode in the first game?
It might have been 2010, maybe.
And then 2009, Jason Mott blew the save on the home opener. It was Ryan Franklin in 2011. 2009, Mott blew the save. And I do remember that Boggs game. I can't remember if it was tied or if they were ahead, but they ended up losing by like 8 runs. You know what? Maybe I'll save that for at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm looking that up right now.
Meantime, let me tell you about a great listener to this station. That's my buddy Tom, who is married.
Married and not retired.
And he's not retired.
He learned that Friday.
Does he tap?
I think he might have been retired, and he's like, I got to keep myself busy. But anyway, now he'll be mad about that. Okay. He went to the Tenderloin over the weekend and then sent me a full review. He said, my girlfriend, you know, also known as my wife, we went to the Tenderloin room and started out at the bar, just like you said, had a couple of drinks, asked to see the George Clooney pictures, which they had when he was hanging out at the Tenderloin room. He said, for the appetizers, I did a little sampler plate, which they'll do for you. They roll it all out. It's quite the presentation. He said, we had a little celebration there with champagne because his wife just got a promotion. She went with the steak, which was top shelf. I did salmon. They whipped up a special sauce, and then we finished it off with Bananas Foster's, and what a presentation that was. So it's good enough for me. It's good enough for Chuck, who's going to go there and pay Jess is going to pay because you won the bracket.
Are you
challenge.
Going to order
Unless,
an expensive item?
Now, look, I'm a nice husband. She did lose the bet, but then at the Tenderloin room, the sponsor, I mean, if they want to hook things up also, all I'm saying.
I'll cut this part out of the library.
Chuck will be headed
there
out. Soon.
Well, at the end, you might hear Chuck begging for a free meal.
Always.
Is there an edit point I hear in there?
No.
Take it from me. Like I was saying, no, the Tenderloin room is a great spot. It's inside the Chase Park Plaza. So if you've got a date night coming up, maybe a birthday or a business lunch, great spot. It's also kind of quiet in there, which I like. It's in an intimate setting. It's been around since the 60s, family owned since the early 90s. Fantastic. Get the pepperloin a la Tenderloin. Go for lunch. Get the pepperloin sandwich. You will not be disappointed. It is the Tenderloin room. Check them out inside the Chase Park Plaza. Time now for a little thing called End of the Day.
The end of the day.
Okay, when's the end of the day?
At the end of the day, it's going to be tough to tell someone they might not be in it.
At the end of the day, you know, you got to be happy.
Chuck and I, by the way, both found that game, the aforementioned Mitchell Boggs game. Home opener, May 8th, 2013. The Cardinals in the red entered the ninth inning.
April
tied. What did I say?
May. It's okay. April.
No, there's a work stoppage.
Oh, you had to correct
April.
Him. Oh, I see.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Nobody at home could have figured out it was April. I see.
April
it could have been a 30-game road trip to start the season.
It could have been a work stoppage. April 8th, 2013. Cardinals and Reds toe-to-toe. End of the ninth inning, tied at 4. Cardinals lose the game 13-4 because the Reds scored 9 runs in the eighth inning. Mitchell Boggs had himself a bit of a rough outing. He went a third of an inning, 6 runs, 7 total, 4 walks, 2 hits, no strikeouts. Didn't allow a home run. Exited the game with a 14.5 ERA.
But they never called him the closer, so that means it's okay. Did he play for Colorado for a little while, maybe?
He, for a minute in that same year, he pitched 8 2/3 for the Rockies. Boggs kind of had two, I don't want to say failed stints, but not successful stints.
Because remember, it was Mott versus Boggs. Yeah,
yes.
11, okay.
In 2011, before Salas became the temporary guy who pitched in the ninth inning when the Cardinals were up by 3 runs or fewer, that Boggs had his tenure there, and it didn't work out as well. Other than that, he was actually a very successful eighth inning guy. He had a ERA of 2.21 in 2012 for the Cardinals in a non-closing role.
And it seemed like everything kind of fell apart during that, the outfield fly game. Remember, he was out there.
Yeah.
Wasn't pitching well. That was kind of a home game for him. He had all of his Georgia buddies and family and friends that are Braves fans. And then in 13, starts off the season rough and basically kind of doesn't ever find it again.
The McGuire was mentioned. He is still the bench coach of the San Diego Padres. I just wanted to check to see what the expectations were for San Diego. Pecota has been pegged to go 73-89. This is updated since the Eric Hosmer signing.
I was going to say that's with Hosmer.
Yes, that's with Eric Hosmer.
That was such a weird deal because they're not really any good, but then they spent a ton of money on him.
I think it's believed, at least within the organization, that they are close. Maybe not this year, but they want that leader in the clubhouse, which is Eric Hosmer because he's inconsistent offensively and not very good defensively, but he can lead, Chuck.
Now, hold on a second. Look, I understand that Eric Hosmer consistently has not had a great career. It's been kind of up and down. But he hit free agency at the perfect time.
He did.
Because he had a great 2017. I believe he had like a 385 on base. What did he hit? You have the numbers here. He had a great season. Read off the numbers, please.
His slash line.
No, I'm going to ballpark for you. I'm going to say he hit 320-ish.
Okay.
A little lower.
On base, 380, and he slugged 505. 25 bombs. Homers.
He did it 25 home runs. Back-to-back years of 25 homers,
and
by the way.
And 100 RBIs.
194. Had 104 the year before. 318 average, a 385 on base, a 498 slugging. An OPS plus of 132, which this is where the inconsistencies come in. 2012, 81 OPS plus. 2013, 118. 2014, 99. 2015, 122. 2016, 102. Last year, 132. Back and forth we go.
But he's a great leader. He does the interviews. Good-looking guy. Great haircut. Always dating the models and all that.
So McGuire's still the bench coach in San Diego. Is
that
what that was?
Yes, still the bench coach.
And then we kind of got on the
hustler. They're not projected to do well. Chuck, you mentioned – no, you didn't mention it. Walt mentioned it. I had forgotten that Chris Narveson, of all people, was that player to be named later in the Larry Walker trade, which I think worked out well for the Cardinals. Narveson, though, never forgave St. Louis. 3-2, 3.02 ERA in his career versus the Birds on the bat. He was kind of that soft-tossing guy that they really could never quite figure out.
On Narvy. The Brewers for a while, right?
The Narv dog.
The Narv dog.
He was on the Brewers in 2011, actually. He appeared for them in the postseason every now and again. Hey, how about some Peeps trivia?
I like this.
We mentioned Peeps earlier. Rock, what are your thoughts on Peeps?
They're disgusting.
Okay, Plowsy's the only person we've asked to actually enjoy them. And he likes them stale. He opens them, puts them in a cupboard for 3 days, and then he will eat them. I did not know this. Originally, Peeps were handmade, and it would take 30 hours to create. According to USA Today, they are owned and operated by Just Born, Inc. The company is named after Sam Born, a Russian-born founder and confectioner, who started the brand in 1917. They were primarily interested in that company for the jelly bean technology.
And Matt Damon played him in the movie.
Yeah, did he really?
Justin Bourne or whatever.
Oh, okay.
The Bourne Peep.
It took the woman 27 hours from start to finish to make the Peeps, mostly because it took the marshmallow a long time to cool before it could be packaged for consumers. Originally, Peeps had wings. Did you know that?
I did not. Have you ever been at your house where you're kind of going through the pantry?
Yes.
And there's just nothing to eat, but there's always random stuff. And, like, you just see a bag of marshmallows.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else to eat, and you really don't want to go to the store. So you just find yourself sitting, watching TV, and eating, like, 16 marshmallows. That's, and then again, you just want to, like, end your life.
Yeah. And then Jess walks in. You are disgusting.
You are grotesque. She actually texted me during the show. She was mad because last night I got home at midnight and ate a whole little carton of raspberries.
Well, that's a nice healthy snack.
They were healthy.
She should be happy. Yeah. She should be proud of
you. There was nothing else.
That's healthy. One more Peep fact. There are Peep stores, in case you're curious. If you ever find yourself in Minneapolis, Mall of America, there is a Peep store there. There's also one in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and in Oxon Hill, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C.
And if you want to see Iggy, go to a Peep show.
Go to a Peep show, exactly. I have an idea for the Cardinals. Maybe because they don't know who their closer is, they can kind of take a page from the St. Louis Blues. Because you don't know who the Blues goalie is heading into every game. But
now we do.
The first goalie off the ice is the starter. So tonight it's Jake Allen. He was the first goalie off the ice. Maybe when the Cardinals are just, they should have like three or four pitchers throw at the same time before a game. And then the first pitcher off, that's your closer.
I like that.
Gives a nod to Tom Zimmerman on the way off the mound.
And that is the end of the day.
All right. Thanks to all of our guests. That includes Dr. Rick Lehman, Kenny Wallace, Tim Gainey, the Eureka lacrosse coach, Walt Jocketty, who is the executive advisor to the CEO.
Charlie Marlowe, who was Rookie of the Month for Best Buy.
That's right.
1998, Best Buy Rookie of the Month, probably in August.
Did they give you something like a plaque or a little bonus?
It might have been August of 98, I'm thinking.
Before he was terminated?
Before he was fired for not showing up.
Dan Rohn, WGN Television, talking about Loyola, talking about Sister Jean, and... That should do it, guys. That was great. It was
great
fun.
Fun show.
Fun 2 days.
Good energy. Good work on the floor.
Oh, good show, bad show. Great show for me. I thought the music was fantastic today, and then good show for everyone else.
Yeah.
Oh, he got a great.
Yeah. The music was great.
The show will really be good the next couple days.
Yeah, fantastic.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, great.
Oh, yeah.
There might be a segment or two where we're kind of down.
No.
Who's on the phone. But it'll be great overall.
All right. I guess that's because these guys will be in charge.
That's right.
Charlie will do the whole first hour tomorrow talking like the New York guy he was back in his umpiring days.
That's your thing. I'll talk about loppers.
That is, the New York guy is Martin walking on his mom, tapping her head and wondering if he can get a ride somewhere, and then also Chuck as an umpire.
How about the fact I'm going to be in New York listening to all these people talk like that?
How about this? The first time you meet someone, whether it's a cabbie or somebody on the street, you know, selling street meat, the guy that has the real New York accent, either get him on the phone during the show or record him on your iPhone, send it to us, and let us play it
just
on the radio.
Just walk around City
Hey,
Field.
This is Vinny. I heard that you got some lapas back there in studio.
You believe we got Judge and Stanton and Sanchez, same lineup?
By the way, I noticed one final thing. Walt Jocketty selling TLR and Dave Duncan on St. Louis did not mention affordable housing. That was our pitch to Stanton. Maybe we should have had Walt sell St. Louis to Stanton.
That was the old memo. All right, the hard line is coming your way next, right here on 590 The Fan.
Congratulations.